Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth back for Hour 1 and another week of The Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Boy, what a great show we have for you today. In addition to Mary Lou, who will be featured this hour, she's talking about salads to go. So this is kind of a healthy feature she's got. Patrick Meyer left out the sex, but he's got drugs and rock and roll, okay, for next hour.
He's celibate.
I guess so. And who else do we have? Andy Borowitz. Andy Borowitz talking about a new line of work for our president, or should I say our former president.
Jesus.
No, well, he quit his job. You didn't hear that?
No.
Well, Andy has that.
Huh.
And what do we? Oh, we have Richard Jaffa, president and chief executive officer of the Leverage Group, going to join us here in just a few moments on the Advertising Show, and we'll talk about a whole bunch of great stuff.
Yeah.
So it's strategic partnering.
Yeah, it's big event television and other stuff, and if you ever wanted to know how all that works, Richard Jaffa is a wealth. He is the source in New York.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's in Midtown, I believe, right now.
Right.
So,
which is where we're not.
This being the weekend, you and I always go mow our lawns, but Richard will not be doing that today.
He's going to mow his tarmac.
He has his tweezers out. He's going to mow his lawn. His nose tweezers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what's been cooking this past week?
Well, you know, the big announcement of Air America, we were fortunate to, a month ago or so, have Mark Walsh on the show, who is the CEO of Progress Media, which is the parent company to Air America. And I got to tell you, Ray, I don't have to tell you this, but gosh, they're getting a lot of publicity. And, of course, a lot of people want to say Air America, the quote-unquote liberal radio network,
right, exactly,
is going to fail. Everybody likes to say that.
Sure.
And you and I, this is kind of interesting, we received an email last week for the special invitation for the breakout or launch party being held in New York for Air America. We were on a very select group, as if you and I are going to
free hors d'oeuvres.
Travel up there for that. Yeah.
Casual attire.
Music,
like
well, it's not. I'm going to get to that. Music, dancing, cocktail, snacks, and the dress is swanky/business/business swanky. And it's being held, or was held, I should say, at the Maritime Hotel at 366 West 17th Street. But we were unable to go because the limo down here in Texas didn't swing by to take us up there.
No, it came by my house.
It did?
Yeah, I'm taking you out to Papacito's.
But when you read the swanky thing, you thought that was a different place you needed to go.
Swanky.
Yeah.
It's down in the Clear Lake area, but for those familiar with Houston.
Yeah. Well, swanky, yeah. Anyway, it'll be interesting to keep an eye on Air America and see how they do. XM Radio just picked them up for national distribution. It's one of 120 channels that they'll be airing Air America. And interestingly enough, Ray, they're calling it XM's America Left is what they're calling it.
Oh, really?
America Left.
Wow.
And, of course, if you don't know, radio talkers Al Franken,
Jeanine
Garofalo, thank you, Robert F. Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and Chuck D. He's a rapper.
Yeah.
And I don't know him, but I'm sure people will soon. And beyond XM, Air America is scheduled to not only launch, as we've already said, this past Wednesday, but they will launch on broadcast radio in Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, and Chicago. And interestingly enough, Ray, the XM deal, non-exclusive.
Really?
So that leaves the door open for them to, you know, do business with Sirius Satellite.
That and $60 million in investment dollars would cause them to believe that it might you know, succeed. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, I think their business plan is such that they can weather a long time without profits.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think the naysayers may have to eat their words.
Say nay.
That'll be a short
say yay.
Short lunch.
Okay, N-A-Y. We'll find out.
Is it N-E-Y? What is it?
No, it's N-A-Y.
N-A-Y.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So I bet Mary Lou would know. She knows about that. She also knows about salads.
And now, stay tuned for What Women Want. Insights from listening to your most powerful customer. Here's Mary Lou Quinlan.
All of a sudden, the fast food restaurants have awakened to a startling bit of news. Guess what? Little kids don't drive themselves to McDonald's. Children don't walk to Wendy's. No, their mom drives them there. Whoa. And another news flash? The moms aren't starving for a Happy Meal or a carbo-laden bag of fries. They're concerned about their weight. You are kidding. No, really. One of the reasons that McDonald's is seeing an amazing turnaround in their business is that salads are now a menu staple. Ads feature moms getting antsy for the Golden Arches. Not for the Big Macs, but for the Chicken Caesars. Other major chains are following suit so that even tacos and burritos are finding their low-cal inner child. But you know what the real reason is for the Mickey D turnaround? Their CEO nailed it. He knows what women want even more than leafy greens. They want fast service and a clean environment. They want to know that they can depend on drive-through to be problem-free. Because inside that SUV isn't just a woman with her Atkins list on the dash. It's a mom with impatient kids and an agenda that just won't quit. And she's got the urge to hit the accelerator and book out of there if the fast food isn't. So welcome to the new age of healthy takeout. It's about time. Could I have fries with that?
This has been What Women Want from The Advertising Show with your host, Mary Lou Quinlan, CEO of Just Ask a Woman. To learn more about what women want, visit JustAskAWoman.com.
This is Mary Lou Quinlan reminding you, if you want to know what women want, stop selling and start listening.
Got a point. You got a point there.
Like an apple pie with that?
No, I wouldn't. Never liked the apple pies.
No. Well,
they're dangerous.
I always liked them saying it, though.
Did you really?
I'd always pull away when they were saying that, just to piss them off.
There was a McDonald's that we would go to frequently for the ice cream stuff, which is really bad for you.
Really?
And the ice cream machine would always be broken. It's like, you know, I'm not coming back here. She's right, though. It's much more than just the healthy stuff. It's the service, and yep. It always has been about service.
2 years ago on the show, you and I were talking about McDonald's and the struggles they were having.
Yeah.
And I ran into a buddy of mine that has small children. Of course, what do you have, big children? Anyway, he has small children that are of the McDonald's size. That's true. And he said the problem with McDonald's is that they're dirty and that they don't really have good service. He asked me how long has it been since I've been to McDonald's. Of course, you know, 20 years or whatever.
Exactly.
And I said, well, that's interesting. He goes, you need to go in there. It's not a marketing or advertising problem. It's an environment and an execution problem. And here, you know, this many years later,
well, how about that?
They're waking up to that deal.
But she does have a very good point there.
She does.
Carb craze fueling 300 million. She takes care of the salads. We got the beer.
Carbs.
$300 million beer battle. The nation's big three brewers prepping for the most pitched beer brawl since light beer shook up the market 30 years ago.
What, so the low carb?
Happening. Exactly.
Yeah.
Low carb beers, Anheuser-Busch, Coors Brewing, Miller Brewing. Well, upwards of $300 million in media. Wow, that's a lot.
I'll pass a beer over here, would you?
Yeah, would you like a low-carb beer?
High-carb.
Yeah,
import.
Wouldn't that be fun if they go the other way?
Yeah.
Richard Jaffa coming up next, president and chief executive officer of the Leverage Group out of New York in Midtown Manhattan this weekend. We'll talk to Richard for the next couple of hours, in just a couple of moments.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Uh-oh, here comes trouble.
I hate her.
Yeah, but do you think she's happy?
With those looks? Probably not.
It's worse than I thought.
Hey, what's that she's drinking?
It looks like Diet Sprite.
Do you think she knows it's the only lemon-lime soft drink that's sugar-free and has the great taste of lime in?
Well, that would mean she has brains, too.
Oh, I don't want to think about it.
It's only Diet Sprite for you.
You see, it's been a battle of the bulge for many, many years, hasn't it, with that classic spot for Diet Sprite, which has no sugar, just a lot of other stuff that's probably not good for you.
Saccharin.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Of course, we've talked about Diet Right last last week, I guess it was?
At lunch yesterday, they were discussing how eggs are now good for you.
Eggs are good for you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Doesn't create the cholesterol problem that it once did.
Well, golly gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Soon hamburgers are going to be in vogue.
and ice cream and chocolate, right? Mm-hmm. There you go. Richard Yaffa, our special guest here on the Advertising Show. Richard, let me tell you about him. He is the chief executive officer, president, and co-founder of the Leverage Group out of New York. And he specializes in creating, designing, and implementing unique corporate strategic alliances that generate visibility and new sources for revenue for his clients. He's led numerous Leverage Group client teams in producing major corporate partnerships and programs. Tribeca Entertainment, Tribeca Film Festival, Redken, Disney, Sony, Maybelline, Citicorp, Snapple, Hollywood Records, Parfum, Givenchy, Capitol Records, Warner Brothers, and just to mention a few. And we're happy to have Richard on the show today, all the way from Midtown Manhattan. Richard, thanks for being on the Advertising Show.
Thanks. Thanks to you as well. I look forward to it.
Yeah, Richard, I wanted to ask you, Ray mentioned Tribeca Film and Tribeca Entertainment. Isn't that owned by a very famous actor?
It is. It's actually founded by two people, Robert De Niro and Jane Rosenthal.
Right.
And our work focuses on... We started with the Tribeca Film Festival and helped them launch it over 2 years ago. We're heading into the third one.
So do you call Robert De Niro Bob?
Call him Robert or Mr. De Niro.
Mr. De Niro, for sure, right.
And does he still have a restaurant downtown?
He's got a couple of them. He's got a few of them.
You know, isn't it come a point in time where these famous people need to just, like, leave everything alone to the regular folks? He's making too much money, isn't he?
No, I think it's a good
actually,
idea.
I think just in deference to that, the Tribeca Film Festival is an amazing event where he and Jane Rosenthal and a gentleman named Craig Adkoff and Martin Scorsese had a vision to drive people to Lower Manhattan to really help with the rebirth and rejuvenation of Lower Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And really have just put a tremendous amount of effort behind it.
You know,
so it's really exciting to be a part of this.
Now that you say that, I do recall that's all post 9/11 and... I do remember hearing that, and he, I guess, has become very successful he and the others around that, at making, I guess, the film festival. Is it independent films and the whole thing is along there?
It's really exciting, actually. Not to digress a little bit, but it really works. The festival is a tremendous event that brings together the community and the film and the community downtown, New York City artistic community, and... also independent filmmakers, and really it's a populist film festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite exciting and fun. I invite you guys to come on up.
Mm.
It's coming up May 1st, so I'd be happy to take you around.
No problem. We'll take two first-class tickets for that event.
Yeah. Right.
Not a problem.
We're busy we're going to a party. I'm curious. I think our audience would be curious as well, Richard. How does a person like yourself get into entertainment marketing?
Well, actually... my background was in entertainment. I spent a number of years at Sony Music and saw a real trend developing, which was people wanting to partner and leverage the equity of the artists that I was working with, but also understanding that the entertainment business is an incredibly different business than consumer brand marketing or advertising or promotion, or also in really understanding the media mix that goes into that. So I really saw a way to better do entertainment partnerships, but also... you know, looking at entertainment marketing, the lines between content and between creative and the mediums that they're transported on are really changing and really blending. So I think that entertainment marketing can be defined in many different ways,
mm-hmm.
From a creative vision to also through a marketing vision.
So, Richard, between Mariah Carey, Bruce Springsteen, Will Smith, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, Harry Connick Jr., who was the biggest pain in the butt?
They're all great artists to work with.
Yeah, listen.
Very politically correct answer. They're all great artists to work with.
Richard,
they all have a vision.
Richard's running for mayor of New York. Did you know that, right?
Yes, so.
Yeah. No, we asked that. Who was it? We asked a question like that of the fellow that does licensing.
We also asked it of the lady about the I Love New York lady as well.
Oh, yes.
She declined to talk about Mr. Sinatra.
Right. Jane.
The late Mr. Sinatra.
Yes, that's true.
Nice.
And it's good that she didn't comment because there was a long black car circling your block the other day, Ray.
Right.
I'm curious. Share with us, if you would, Richard. The Leverage Group has been described as a company that, among other things, builds strategic alliances for your client. For your clients in a general way, describe for us, if you would, the process, how your company might go about building a strategic alliance for a client.
Sure. I think one of the interesting things is that the marketplace is changing. Companies are looking for different ways to reach consumers. It's fragmented. TV is reaching people, reaching less people, yet costing more, but still probably the most impactful way. So we started to look at a philosophy that said, well, how can you reach consumers through other lifestyle touch points? And what we look at in truly strategic partnerships are that we're experts in these other non-traditional channels of media, whether it's entertainment marketing, sponsorship, cause-related marketing, and just a consumer brand to a consumer brand partnership. So what we look at is really identifying what our clients' goals and objectives are, who they're looking to reach and how they're looking to reach them. Then we look at who and what would be an ideal partner for them in order to accomplish those objectives. We identify the assets that our client has that they're willing to work with, whether it's a media budget, whether it's the equity, if they're an entertainment property, whether it's the creative concepts that they have that they're going to go to market with. And then we look for strategic partners that we can help put them together with that we think would be the right fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we've done that, we identify the program. And it's usually, you know, we call them strategic partnerships because they're usually mostly mutually beneficial, still built from our client's perspective, but really working to benefit both parties. And then we execute them. But most importantly, then we look at our client at the end and say, well, here's the return on the investment or the assets that you put against this mm-hmm. this particular opportunity.
So I'm curious, how many clients that you get connected up with really have an idea of what their objectives are, or do you help guide that process and help them realize that themselves?
It's interesting that you say that. I think that some clients' goals are tactical and some clients' goals are strategic or insightful. And I think there's a mixture of it. And you really hit the nail on the head with that question, because a client sometimes will come to us and say, well, we want a music tour sponsorship. But really what they want to do is have a sampling opportunity on a college campus.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that they're already there with the tactic, but really, if we take them a step back, if we really look at the pure goal that they want to accomplish sampling on a college campus, there are many other partners that can get you there, and you don't necessarily need the avenue or the vehicle that they might have in mind already, and we help to steer and direct that.
You know, that doesn't surprise me from an insider out perspective, because, I mean, my goodness, I would think something as innovative as what you guys do at the Leverage Group, if a client is on top of things and knows how the whole process works and how to meet the objectives of the lifestyle points that you touch on.
But it brings up a good point, which is, the client is focusing on running their business and in many instances really trying to figure out the entire process of getting the product to market or marketing and really selling, and they've got all these different assets and channels. It does take a significant amount of time and resources in order to do that, and that's why a lot of people look to us to be able to do that, because we are consistently looking for these partners. So if you're to call up a Starbucks once a year versus us maintaining a consistent relationship with them or somebody else or an entertainment property, it gives us a greater chance for success than if they were to do it on their own.
Our guest here in the Advertising Show today is Richard Jaffa, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Leverage Group. Talking to Richard out of Midtown Manhattan this weekend, and we've got lots more coming your way, as a matter of fact, on the Advertising Show. Wacky World of Marketing is up next. A little bit later on this hour, it's Badvertising. And of course, still to come, too, Patrick Meyer and Andy Borowitz on the Advertising Show. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
And now, it's time for the Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to Germany, where violinists at a German orchestra are suing for a pay raise on the grounds that they play more notes per concert. The 16 violinists at the Beethoven Orchestra in Bonn argue that they work more than their colleagues who play instruments like the flute, oboe, and trombone. They also claim a collective bargaining agreement that gives bonuses to people who play solos is unjust. Bonn's orchestra director says the suit is ridiculous and absurd. He says it's unreasonable to compare playing a musical instrument with other jobs, and says soloists and musicians in other leading roles like the orchestra's two oboe players should make more money. The case is due to go before a judge in May. And that, my friends, is the Wacky World of Marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and, unfortunately, the true Wacky World of Marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Who's got baby oil? There's got baby oil. If you're a baby boil, Nair with baby oil.
Announcing Nair with baby oil, new baby soft scent. Nair takes off the hair, baby, so your legs feel baby smooth.
It's The Advertising Show. Ray Sheland's Brad Forsyth. There's a visual there. Everybody remembers that television commercial for Nair with the legs dancing on television.
You still use it, don't you?
On the legs, sure, no problem. I don't think so.
No.
If it does, it doesn't work, but I'm sure it does. Richard Jaffa, our special guest today in The Advertising Show. Richard is president and chief executive officer of the Leverage Group, and this weekend we're talking to Richard out of Midtown Manhattan.
You know, Richard, last segment you mentioned cause-related marketing. I think many of our listeners may not be familiar with exactly what that is. Could you define that for us and give us some sense of understanding there?
Sure. Cause-related marketing or corporate social responsibility is really defined as work when a product works with a cause as part of their marketing message or as part of an initiative that they're launching through their products or to create awareness or to generate money.
Can you give us a real-world example?
Oh, absolutely. Well, actually, we touched on the Tribeca Film Festival and the partners and the sponsors that are part of that. The Tribeca Film Festival is actually a not-for-profit. So the partners, whether it's American Express, Budweiser, General Motors, Starbucks are all participating in the festival as part of a corporate social responsibility initiative and objective, but also really working with the festival in order to help drive the key mission, which is arts and community in Lower Manhattan and driving people to Lower Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Another example is most recently people may have seen the American Express commercial highlighting the Statue of Liberty and the Martin Scorsese film to generate funds to help reopen the Statue of Liberty.
All good examples, I think, of corporate responsibility and get involved with events or non-for-profits that certainly have a positive impact on the corporate image. But I'm curious, Richard, how does a company go about gauging its effectiveness? I mean, it's obvious that you would want to align yourself with the two examples you give, but, you know, everything's about, you know, ROI and wanting to make sure we're getting the return on our investment of our marketing dollars. How do you gauge that kind of thing?
Well, I think you gauge it almost in a similar fashion as you're choosing any other strategic partnership, which is just what you alluded to, which is the return on investment. One, does the cause match what your corporate objectives are and what your corporate initiatives are? Does it feel right? Secondly, is there a reason for the cause to be associated with you? Is there an initiative from the senior executives that feel that this cause is important to the company? And lastly, I think the altruism of it and how it accentuates the brand and how the brand fit then ultimately will determine whether or not it moves more units. If you see MAC Cosmetics and their glam line, it benefits AIDS research. And the MAC Foundation, where direct proceeds of that particular line of cosmetics goes to the MAC AIDS Foundation. And I think it's really can be incredibly impactful from a sales perspective, incredibly impactful from a consumer perspective, because actually there's research that shows that all things being equal with two products, a consumer will choose a product with a cause-related message 86% of the time over one that doesn't have one, even if the products are unequal. And that's pretty impactful. You just have to make it easy for consumers to do good.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you evaluate on that basis. Not interesting, but I mean, you have to have some criteria. As you being a practitioner of such strategic partnering and cause related marketing, do you ever see a miscue or sit back and say, now why in the world would this company be aligned with this particular cause-related marketing effort or be strategically partnered with someone where you sit back and say, that just, unless I'm missing something, just doesn't make sense? How often do you see that?
Well, on the cause side, ultimately with cause, there's an altruism that underlies it. So that doesn't really, the downside risk on it, it mostly will give you an upside potential, but the downside risk can be, isn't that dramatic. There are strategic partnerships that don't work, and that's usually when they don't meet, as we discussed earlier, the core objectives of what the client wants to reach, and does it fit all of the attributes that you're really looking for in the strategic partnership from a branding perspective, and those there are some that are out there, and you know, sometimes you do sit back and scratch your head and say, well, who was trying to make that decision? What were they really trying to accomplish by it? And you take a step back and say, because that can have a negative impact with the consumer.
Well, and I would imagine, you know, we, Ray and I, look at advertising campaigns and scratch our head and say, what in the world is the objective here, and what are they trying to accomplish? And I guess to the defense of a company partnering up strategically with a third party, I guess unless you're sitting in the meeting, you might not know what their objectives are. But then on the other hand, there are certain confusing partners, I guess, in your world, huh?
Well, ultimately, you want it to resonate with the consumer, and that's the key. And if you're trying to either leverage the equity of another brand, or find an alternative distribution channel, or have your product appear in a place where people don't expect it to, but if there isn't a fit, it can have a negative impact on the brand equity, and it can have a negative impact on the sales.
It's Richard Jaffa, our special guest here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. We are talking about a bunch of things today, including strategic partnering. And good thing is, Brad, we've got more to come. We've got much more time here. So we'll be back with Richard in just a moment. You said a little bit later on this hour it's Badvertising.
Can
you give
correct.
Us a sneak preview
well,
of what the Badvertising might be?
It's from the newspaper.
From the newspaper.
And that's all I can say.
Bigger than a bread box?
It's something that you'll want to stick around, but if you're eating, you may want to turn down the radio.
Don't really that. Okay. Richard Jaffa and Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth coming back with more on The Advertising Show.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
You're like no other babe ever born.
You're fabulous, babe.
You know how to reach out and show your love, babe.
You're fabulous, babe.
You're one of the boys, but you're a real girl, babe.
You're fabulous, babe.
You're a beautiful thing to be close to, babe.
Fabulous, babe.
Now there's a phrase.
Oh, the fabulous 70s in disco. I think isn't it wonderful that it's fabulously gone?
I think we're sitting a little too close for that music.
Are you really? Okay. Well, at least I'm not.
To you.
At least I'm not wearing Dave.
Wow.
Richard Jaffa, our special guest on The Advertising Show. Richard is Chief Executive Officer and President and Co-Founder, and he probably even makes coffee, I would imagine, there sometimes, at the Leverage Group. Richard is in Midtown
Especially
Manhattan
on
this
Saturday,
weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to talk to you, Richard, if we can, about Madison and Vine, the convergence, of course, of the two. A lot's been talked about and written about. Steve Heyer, I guess, a little over a year ago, current COO of Coca-Cola Worldwide, had his manifesto on the convergence of Madison and Vine that he shared with some people at a conference sponsored by, coincidentally, Advertising Age. And he called, I guess, for an urgent need for a closer relationship between advertisers and entertainment, in effect, a wake-up call for marketers to, you know, look at this new marriage of entertainment and commerce. But yet here, a year later, I'm curious if you feel that advertisers heeded Heyer's recommendations, and in particular, do you think Coca-Cola, Heyer's company, has taken his own advice?
Well, the first part of that is I think that it gave greater validity to the concept of, there's a tremendous amount of equity in Coca-Cola and the brand, and the entertainment, there's a tremendous amount of equity in your brand, and we can help meet each other's goals and objectives if we work together instead of really just, you know, one side buying from the other. And I think that that's an important element as the marketplace is shifting, as the economic model changes in the entertainment business. You've seen what's going on with record companies and the film business, the economic and financial challenges that they're having. It's still incredibly viable, but you need partners, and you need partners in order to make sure that you're successful.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the music industry as a precursor to a lot of what's going on today, tying in with entertainment. I know the fashion business has been an early adopter of such with, gosh, I guess many advertisers or designers being involved with the Oscars and dressing up actors and so forth. And I guess Joan Rivers would be out of job, wouldn't she, if they didn't do that? But what do you think the music industry and the fashion industry has kind of been ahead of the curve on all this and integration?
I think that you know, entertainment in general has always looked for also key points of validity, whether and you know, when you look at the music business, and I'll just touch on that briefly, the record companies are suffering, but music has never been more viable and more exciting. And I think when you look at the bevy of artists that are out there and what's going on with the new forms of distribution, and my old friends at Sony might go, they might cringe at that, but you look at a partnership like Pepsi and Apple iTunes and recording artists where Pepsi's giving away millions and millions of free downloads, they're using it as a way to make sure that they can reach their customer with a medium that is incredibly powerful for them and incredibly relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a billboard here in New York which had Seal, the artist,
mm-hmm.
his album title, Pepsi, and Apple, all mm-hmm. three incorporated in a billboard. And that, to me, it felt right, it looked right, and it looked good, and it obviously was iconic enough that it caught everybody's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Why would Pepsi and Apple, when you saw those two iconic logos, be surrounding a picture of a huge picture of Seal?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. We had Kevin McKernan, CEO of Creative License, on several weeks ago, and he's personally been involved with his company of putting together the MCI Michael McDonald mm-hmm. campaign, as well as James Taylor. And we talked a little bit during that program about how, I guess, as a result of the record business being a bit in a challenging position the last few years, they've been more receptive to tying in with commercial endeavors, whereas maybe many years ago they would not have been so likely to do that.
Smartly so, though.
I think so, and it certainly impacts sales, record sales, as a result.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They have to. They don't have a choice.
Right.
They don't have a choice, and you've seen a transition where hip-hop and fashion that made it acceptable when hip-hop crossed over to have these strategic partnerships, like you were alluding to, that didn't make it feel like it was selling out.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're at a place where the record business needs these partners, and I call it the record business, but really the record companies need strategic partners to help them promote and market their albums so that the consumers can know that they have a new album coming out by a particular artist.
You know, you mentioned hip-hop and fashion. That's Brad. There's no doubt about it. He's got that hip-hop fashion, no doubt.
Do you like my hat?
Yeah, right, exactly. Like the sandals, too, or whatever. On the Advertising Show is Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and our special guest, Richard Yaffa. You'll have to stick around until next hour to hear more of this interview, and I hope you will, too. We'll be back in just a minute. We've got Badvertising on the way with Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and the Advertising Show.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Woman here? Never.
A woman's world has freely grown. Most places now she calls her own.
Gentlemen, prefer hands.
Getting there was half fun. You see, that woman's day has come.
Gentlemen, prefer hands.
That's a classic spot on the Advertising Show. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. And a long time ago, Hanes was only in the underwear business for females.
Right.
And now you've got the guys doing that stuff.
I was going to say, so gentlemen still prefer Hanes.
Yeah, I guess they do.
And you could take that many different ways.
Yes, you could. You probably shouldn't take it anyway.
Nice pantyhose, Ray.
Thank you very much. Used it with my Nair, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever that stuff is. That's Richard Yaffa is joining us next hour. He'll be back with more from the Leverage Group out of Midtown Manhattan. And it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Mm. By the way, you want to check out the website. We haven't talked about that yet today.
That's true.
But the website is a great place to go. What you can actually do there is, for instance, if you have to run out, and we hope you don't, and miss hour number two of the show, you can actually hear a downloaded version, actually a streaming version, I guess, but it's compacted, minus all the commercials. Imagine mm-hmm. that, the Advertising Show with no commercials.
Kind of like I don't know. What would it be like? It'd be like CNN without news.
It'd be a it'd be like a jalapeno without seeds. Okay?
A Mexican restaurant without beef. You know, and or if you just caught portions of the interview because you were in and out picking up your dry cleaning this weekend, as Ray and I like to do.
Yeah.
Haven't done that in years now. But, you know, you can go back and catch not only the entire 2 hours commercial free, and you don't have to register. You just come to the website at theadvertisingshow.com. But you can hear 2 hours of program in, what, 80 minutes, Ray?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we are time
sensitive.
Impoverished.
Well, that too.
That's true.
In fact, I don't have time to talk to you anymore.
Okay, that's a good thing then. Time to do some bad advertising. We don't mean to trash anybody, but this is how we do it. We let you know the good and the bad on the Advertising Show.
And now it's time for the bad advertising item of the week.
So last week, I think it was good, wasn't it? Maybe it was bad last week, too. I'm not sure.
Who can remember?
I don't know.
We try to balance it. We're fair and balanced here.
It's true. It just depends on what litigation is happening at the time.
On the
too much, we go good.
On the old advertising factor.
There you go.
Hey, you know, I was reading our major daily newspaper in our local home market here on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And first thing I noticed was it was only, the main news there was only 10 pages.
So really?
That was kind of unusual. Very light, you know.
Sure.
We've talked about the struggle that newspapers are having when in capturing the young audience and the old audience who they tend to reach. You know, how do you replace somebody when you go to the obituaries and
you
there goes more of their audience?
That ought to be the key right there.
Yeah. So anyway, I was reading the paper. Ray, you and I were in the radio business, you more recently than me, but years ago, and we've talked about this, in the radio business, it used to be, imagine this, folks, you actually reviewed your commercial content, and if it didn't fit sometimes the format of the radio station,
it didn't get on.
Didn't go on the air. You and I worked in rock and roll radio, AOR, album oriented rock, and I worked for a station, and you and I have talked about this, where, and you did too, where the sales manager or the general manager had to call the agency in New York or elsewhere and say, hey, your spot doesn't fit our audience, and we're not going to do that to our audience.
There was a time.
Hope you can respect that. And usually they would get all pissed off, but then they would respect it. And we would also have a spot redone for them.
Yeah.
And it was more in line with what our audience was willing to accept.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was the radio of the old days.
Okay.
Well, here's newspaper, and I was spinning through it. And as I said, not a whole lot going on, which was surprising. And I'm on the very next to the last page, and I see two ads stacked on top of one another. Headline on the first one is Sex for Life. It's from a medical group, and they want to talk about sexual dysfunction.
Okay.
And below it is a headline, Hope's in a Bind, and it's Urinetown, the musical. And I'm thinking, okay, we have Sex for Life, Urinetown. I'm thinking, you know, this is a little much. So I turn the very back section over here. Can you see the headline, Ray?
Oh, yeah.
What's it say?
Constipated, bloated, irritable bowels.
Yeah, and then the subhead, which you may not be able to read from there. Amazing new herbal cleansing formula flushes out the harmful, energy-draining fecal matter decaying inside your body.
Oh, that's good.
Pass the salt, honey.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, this is breakfast reading material, or in our case, we read it when we get home.
It's called Talk to Wall Street and the Investors, basically.
This is an entire full page here, and it's all type, and great big headline, Constipated, Bloated, Irritable Bowels. And I guess my point here is not so much the advertiser. I guess if they want to create an ad and send it in, more power to them, I suppose, if they pay their bills, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
But as we were talking before, if the medium itself were to take a more active role in saying, you know something? That's not really right for our audience. That's not right for our reader to have to read that. Now, how much are they paying per inch? Oh, bring it on, baby.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so as we said before, there was once a time, and it's not just unique to the newspaper.
Well, it was the end of the month, and budgets were tight, and, you know, doggone it, that ad was worth, you know, $25,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, what the heck, we'll go ahead and take it.
Maybe we don't have to be sensitive to our readers, and we'll just go ahead and put any ads in there. There have been, this has happened over and over again in all media, so not picking on newspaper in particular. Just today.
No, but it's true. And what they'll do is they'll take the GM will sit back and say, well, you know what?
It
Let's
won't
run
hurt.
It and see if anybody writes in or calls in, and then we'll handle it at that point.
So the onus is on the listener or the viewer or the reader to pick up the phone and say, you know, I'm very insulted by this.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think they'll do that.
No.
No, they just look the other way and say,
take the money and run.
Not good for the brand. Yeah.
Richard Jaffa will be rejoining us next hour on the Advertising Show. Richard is the president and chief executive officer of the Leverage Group. Talking to Richard this weekend out of Midtown Manhattan. We've got Patrick Meyer, who is talking about, speaking of stuff that may be a little bit iffy, drugs and rock and roll.
No sex, though. We already covered that.
Andy Borowitz, too. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth is a Big Radio Midget production.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
And it's hour number two of The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Happy to be talking again this hour with Richard Jaffa out of Midtown Manhattan. We've got Patrick Meyer on the way, Andy Borowitz, and a presidential thing, too. The Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Back for one more time. Hey, we talked about diet beer.
Low carb beer. Yeah.
But now, did you see? This is something interesting. They're coming out with a mid calorie soda from Coca Cola. It's called C2.
Less sugar.
I guess. I don't know. It says Coca Cola has named its reduced calorie cola C2, and it's planning to launch the brand ahead of the July 4th holiday, according to the executives close to the marketer. It's tested under the name of Coke Ultra. Ultra, isn't that funny? Let's see. It says the so-called mid-calorie carbonated soft drink is expected to have about half the sugar, calories, and carbohydrates of Coca-Cola Classic, which has more than your recommended daily allowance.
So they're stealing the Ultra line from, I guess, the cigarette manufacturers.
Well, actually, the Michelob Ultra has the
everybody's Ultra.
The carb thing, right?
Yeah. So does it lower? Are they using that sugar substitute, or do they mention that in the?
I don't think so. I think it still has the sugar. I think it's just half the
half
the sugar.
Oh, half the sugar.
And so that's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. You know, I get. I don't know if you've read about this, but apparently Leno will be around for till the end of the decade. He just NBC just renewed his contract for 5 years as host, of course, of The Tonight Show. The new deal guarantees that Leno will continue on Tonight, the longest-running entertainment show, of course, in television history.
Sure.
Until he's at least 58. He took over, as you may recall, in 1992. Exactly.
Right.
And yet what's interesting is Letterman still commands a little bit more salary.
Isn't that interesting?
At $31 million a year. And Leno, who was making $16 million a year,
right,
says that he did get a little bump on his salary. But he mentions in this particular article.
Very interesting.
He says that he doesn't need the money. If you can't live on what he makes each year, he said something's wrong with you. And they ask, apparently he's bankrolling all the money that he's getting through The Tonight Show, and he's living on the money he makes through stand-up.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, he was asked what he might eventually do with all that NBC money that he's saving, and he's quoted as saying that he guesses that when he retires, he's going to take his wife out to dinner.
I hope so. Maybe buy her a Harley.
She's holding around for that, yeah, hanging around.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, that despite the ratings, Letterman still commands more. Isn't that funny?
Well, look what CBS, as we may remember, had no late-night television program.
Right.
They tried, who was it? They tried the guy from the Square, Hollywood Square? No?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that guy that's...
Are you talking about Bill Maher?
No. They had the guy that had the late show on CBS for a while, who now and has always had the game show by Merv Griffin.
Okay.
That turns the letters.
Not Tom Bergeron.
No, the guy that turns. We have the girl that turns the letters.
Yeah.
Letter turner.
Okay.
And then we have him.
Okay. Can I buy a vowel? Because I don't know who you're talking about.
Well, wait a minute. That's it.
It is?
Take a vowel.
Take a vowel? Are you talking about John Davidson?
No, but we'll come
Peter
up with...
Peter Marshall.
We'll come up... No, he's still on. I mean, you can go home right now. It's syndicated television, Merv Griffin.
Ricky Ricardo?
Productions.
No, that's not him either.
King World syndicates it.
Patrick Meyer?
Hang on, and we'll have that name for you right after this.
I certainly hope so. This is a senior moment, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider, featuring Patrick Meyer.
Today I'm going to talk to you about drugs and rock and roll.
and where consumerism is wreaking havoc here and other places. I find my clients, CMOs and CEOs, think they're in the driver's seat. Well, nothing could be farther from the truth. The consumer now has the power to shift businesses. It's all about the consumer. Their purchasing power, their use of the internet for information, for pricing details, even purchasing. Their ability to generate word of mouth, to make or break a brand in 30 days. Let me give you two examples. The first, drug companies, powerful, profitable, their strategy, full price in the U.S., but lower priced in Canada. And now America is demanding same pricing, same availability, no choice, we want it now. Second example, the music industry. Enter Napster, faster, quicker, more fun, and valued delivery. That was the beginning of it all. Instead, the industry started talking about suing teens instead of acknowledging what the consumer really wanted. Apple then enters, and all of a sudden, they've got a business model that's captured the consumer. Last week, 2 million songs downloaded, first time ever. What I'm talking about here is consumerism, and they are demanding things that you have to listen to. So do this. Get in front of consumers now, not your loyal, heavy users, the people that considered you and rejected you. Next, move to where the upstarts are in your industry. They're focused on new values, new benefits, and new ways to deliver. Understand where they're going and beat them to it. My last point is, the consumer's in the driver's seat. Become totally consumer-centric as an organization. Because if the consumer's in the power seat, you want to make sure you're focused on where they're going.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer for Ignite. Remember, the marketing revolution is now.
Yes, it is, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Happening this weekend.
True.
At a theater near you.
Ignite this.
Yeah.
Hey, who's the host of Wheel of Fortune?
I don't know. I don't watch game shows.
I don't either, but that's who I'm trying to think of.
Ask me who won the, when the golf tournament last weekend.
When you said the letter turner and I'll take a vowel.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you know, please email us, okay?
Because right.
We're like going crazy.
Anyway, that guy had a talk show for CBS. It failed miserably.
Oh, I know. Pat Sajak.
There
that's
you
him.
Go.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, that was a real loser show.
You remember him?
Absolutely.
He did not do well. That was back in the days that he also had... a lot of things were tried in that time frame for CBS, and they just never could get the show going.
Letterman does a good job at it.
Letterman does a great job.
He makes more money than, what's his name, Jay?
Had a chance to see Letterman years ago at the Ed Sullivan Theater, and just in just going in there was worth sitting up in the balcony away from the TV.
It's not that big of a theater, is it?
Not big at all. And once you go in there, the Beatles, of course, were there at one time.
Well, everybody famous was
exactly.
there. My goodness.
It's very cool. And I would have taken a tour just to go in there and see it, but to see the show and the taping and all that. If you've been to a taping of any program that you've seen on the network, the biggest surprise for most people, no matter what the show is, gosh, the studio audience is pretty small. But it's pretty big in relatively speaking, at Ed Sullivan Theater. But anyway, it was fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
On the way, Richard Yaffa, who is the Chief Executive Officer, President, and co-founder of the Leverage Group. We're talking to Richard for the second hour out of Midtown Manhattan, where he mowed his lawn. I should say his parking space.
Nose clippered it.
Yeah, and with the little tweezers.
Actually, he's watering his plant right now.
Plant? His tree?
Yeah.
Now, we should make fun of New York.
Should be an interesting interview second hour. He had a lot of good things to say. If you're ever curious about big event television, strategic partnering, all that good stuff.
Right.
What are they talking about, folks? Well, stay tuned.
We will know, absolutely.
Yeah.
Andy Borowitz has a thing about President Bush. Just this week, it's, you know, that's the way it goes.
Well,
but it's funny. So if you stick around for that, that's later on this hour. Of course, the wacky world of marketing is coming up in just a little while,
too. Did you catch Janet Jackson on Good Morning America?
No, only on the Letterman show.
Yeah.
It was
she
good,
was
though.
Flip-flopping on issues again.
So you already used
no, that
line.
Was Jack. That was John Kerry.
Back in just a minute, Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Stay with us.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Because I'm a woman.
Archeline.
I can bring home the bacon.
Archeline.
Fry it up in a pan.
Archeline.
And never let you forget you're a man.
Give her
Majoli, an 8-hour perfume for the 24-hour woman.
I can work till 5 o'clock, come home and read your
TV. Yeah, here, baby. Tonight. Here's some Angelique. Can you make some bacon for me? Thank you very much. Give me a beer, too, would you?
When you get in your divorce.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Classic spot of the advertising show, Ray Schillen's Brad Forsyth, back with Richard Jaffa, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Leverage Group. We asked Richard, but he refuses to answer. Politically, at least, Mariah, Bruce, Will, Barbara, Billy Joel, Harry Connick. Which one do you think that he would have the most problem with, Brad?
Well, Andy Borowitz, who's a regular contributor to the show, says that Will's a nice guy because he worked with him on Fresh Prince.
I'm going for Barbara.
I'd go Mariah.
Mariah?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You know, it's interesting, too, Richard, you mentioned Seal. Seal has not had a hit in
quite a few years.
20, 10, 15 years, maybe? Long time. So it's interesting to see him back on the radar, so to speak. Very good.
You want to read Richard's bio?
Well, we already did.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, we did.
Where was I?
Last hour.
You were sitting there.
Yeah, so if you missed it, you know, he's Chief Executive Officer and co-founder of the Leverage Group and serves as the firm and Chief Executive Officer and President. Leverage Group is creating, designing, and implementing unique corporate strategic alliances, which is, I guess, today what we have. Right, Brian?
Yeah. Okay. We have an alliance with him.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Richard, give us a sense, if you will, for our audience that may not be familiar or wasn't listening last hour, what it is exactly that your company does.
Well, yeah, thanks. We put together strategic partnerships. We build them from our clients' perspective. We really specialize in entertainment marketing, consumer brand marketing, and cause-related marketing and sponsorship.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you're working on right now that you can talk about that will illustrate for our audience some insight as to what you do for certain clients?
Sure, I can touch on one of them. For Redken, really what we do is, for Redken, is we look for strategic partnerships. Redken is a hair product manufacturer that is sold exclusively in salons and the division of L'Oreal. And what we really do for Redken is we've analyzed their assets. They have an incredible connection with the salon community. We know that the salon stylist is a permission giver. And we're looking for strategic partners for Redken that really leverages their access to the person that's in the chair for 30 minutes to 2 hours. And what are they talking about, you know, besides, you know, how you do your hair? They're talking about entertainment. They're talking about the restaurants that they went to. They talk about all sorts of different lifestyle touch points. And we're leveraging that to help Redken differentiate themselves in the marketplace with the right strategic partners.
Well, that's interesting. The you triggered a thought there, and I can't remember. Oh, did you know that years ago, Ray, they used to put egg whites on a person's head to create the shampoo look under the hot lights of a TV studio because a regular shampoo wouldn't work?
Really?
Yeah, that's a little insight.
Okay.
I don't know why I brought that up, but it's that information you never get to use except for occasionally.
Yeah, write that down, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And by the way, pass the eggs. Your company provides ongoing research, the Leverage Group, and insight for your clients. It's been mentioned in your literature that the Leverage Group uses relationship and business intelligent tools for client research. I'm curious about exactly what some of those methods might be.
Well, it really looks to some of the research that we use is some of it's quantitative and some of it is qualitative. And when we really look at analyzing our clients' goals and objectives, what types of research can we use? Really, when we're looking at it, who and what is trying to reach the same demographic, who has special initiatives, so some of that type of business intelligence, but also quantifying the potential returns on investment for entertainment partnerships, cause-related partnerships, and really some proprietary methodologies that we use in order to get our clients to compare. How do you compare a sports sponsorship or a partnership with a sports team to another partnership with a brand? And what we're capable of doing is really analyzing those partnerships in an apples-to-apples concept and using the same metrics rather than just looking at these things as being two entirely separate different initiatives.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that the evolution of partnership marketing is really based on, I guess, the difficulty in reaching today's ever-elusive consumer?
I think so. I think that it's tougher to reach the consumer. There are different areas that are fragmented in the marketplace, and I think that by a strategic partnership or another brand that gives permission to talk to that consumer in a different place, it can definitely break through the clutter.
Mm. Do you find that there are still a lot of advertisers, major advertisers, clinging to the old traditional marketing ways and traditional media?
Well, I think that television is still the most impactful, but I think that there and the traditional methods of print and billboards and outdoor and out of home And now I would almost consider digital to be traditional. People need to find different ways, but there are brands that are staying to the core elements because they're easily quantifiable. There are methods and modeling that is done that is tremendously effective in identifying how many people you're reaching and where you're reaching them. And I think that what we've been able to do, and I think where the marketplace is going, is showing these same advertisers the way to find how to quantify these new channels of reaching the consumer. And if you can do that, I think it opens people's eyes pretty considerably.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm curious with the uproar of Janet Jackson and the Super Bowl this few months ago. You know, what impact does that have other than, you know, everybody instituting a delay now on any live broadcast? What impact that might have on advertisers deciding to tie in with big event television, or could it backfire where, you know, some advertisers may find it too risky of an environment?
Well, I think, entertainment always carries some sort of risk. It's not a bar of soap. It actually talks back to you about how you want to market it and what they want to do. So I think that does always present challenges, but I think you can minimize the risk and minimize the challenges by putting certain stopgaps in place, but you ultimately run the risk, and I think some brands will shy away from it based on the Janet Jackson incident, but others will still continue to embrace it.
Mm-hmm. This past week, Ray, I don't know if you caught...
She was on Letterman.
Letterman, right. And she was on Good Morning America.
Yes.
From watching her all week, I came up with kind of a semi-joke here. I think John Kerry's been flip-flopping on the issues so much he's going to hire Janet Jackson as Director of Communications. Are you with me on that?
Yes.
I'm curious, what consideration, Richard, is the water cooler factor when viewers the next day discuss the previous night's big event television program? Does an advertiser jump into a particular venue because it lends itself to the benefit of this kind of day after chatter? Is that a consideration?
I think it does. I think that the more that you can differentiate your brand, the better off you are. Mm-hmm. But with big event television, when you look at the Super Bowl, it's just as much about the spots that are on the Super Bowl, and I think people are starting to factor that into the equation of what the return on investment is by the visibility that they get off of that. And I think also how you extend an association with a property, it's not just about the spot, but it's what you do in store, it's what you do in retail, it's what you do as part of your other advertising mix that you accentuate the association with either the big event on television or the property that you're really associating yourselves with that makes it ultimately successful.
Mm-hmm. You know, earlier, last segment, you mentioned about the network upfronts this year and that network television is still a medium that is relied upon a great deal. But yet a lot's been written and talked about that this year may be the fallout of the upfronts and network television may not be as big of a role for some major advertisers, GM and some others, that have come out and said that they're going to reduce their mm-hmm. network budget. Do you think this year may be the year for the beginning of the end of this strange and unusual way that network offers advertisers next season's ad units?
And give us your answer in 20 seconds or less.
Yeah.
That'd be a good thing, right?
No.
There.
No.
No. That's too short.
Is that K-N-O-W or N-O?
No, I think it's... I still think it's the most impactful way to reach your audience.
Yeah. Well, that said,
that was under 20 seconds.
That is.
For sure.
There you go.
Very good.
Abbreviating people again.
It's very word efficient.
Yeah.
And a nice guest to have here.
He repurposed that word.
Yes, he did. Richard Yaffa, we'll be back with more of Richard. We've got to take a moment to take a break here as we come to the bottom of the hour. We've got the wacky world of marketing on the way. And, of course, more with Richard Yaffa out of Midtown Manhattan and the Leverage Group coming up in just a few moments.
World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to Australia, where a council candidate is offering a cash prize to those who can best deface her election posters. Sue Groom, who is standing for election in Carnes City Council, is offering two $100 prizes to the most original makeovers. A number of her election posters are already sporting glasses, mustaches, and blacked-out teeth, says ABC News. Miss Groom says the competition is promoting artistic talent and engaging voters who are probably sick of the signs. Miss Groom admits the competition is about publicity, but says it's also about laughing at what has already been done to her signs. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom tissue.
Please don't squeeze the Charmin, indeed. As if that could make me resist Charmin's cushiony, soft texture.
So squeezably soft.
Squeezably soft. I don't believe it.
Try it and smell that wonderful fragrance.
You're on The Advertising Show. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, Classic Spot, and an icon for that brand, George Whipple. I wonder if Luke Sullivan, when he wrote the book, Hey Whipple, Squeeze This, whether he had to get permission to use that. Think he did?
That's a good question. We should have asked him that.
Yeah.
We'll go back and get the archive and put that question in.
We'll call him after the show. Richard Jaffa is our special guest, president and chief executive officer of the Leverage Group, and we're talking to Richard out of Midtown Manhattan today.
Yeah, Richard, I wanted to get your opinion. It's not often we get a chance to talk to someone at your level as well as your area of expertise having to do with strategic partnering and big event television, et cetera. And these are all opinion questions, no right or wrong answer. Staying with the television, event television that we were discussing last segment, we've noticed over the past few years an unusual creative approach that we've talked about here on The Advertising Show for some advertisers, whereby a well-known major brand will create a spot and voice it in Spanish, yet the broadcast for the event is general market English broadcast. I think the Grammys is a good example of where we've seen this, and I'm curious, what are your thoughts on this? Is it something that's wise, or you think they're missing it a little bit there?
Well, I think that the Hispanic marketplace, I mean, the research shows that the Hispanic marketplace continues to grow and become more mainstream, and I think it speaks to that audience in a very relevant, incredible fashion. I do think that It created a buzz, which is one of the reasons why we're talking about it.
Right.
And I think you can, and you talk about the product that it's associated with. But I also think that it's good business as well.
Yeah, and we're a big supporter and big promoter of Hispanic marketing, and think that's well under publicized and underused. And I guess I question, and Ray and I have talked about this, I question how much dollars are not connecting up with the English-speaking viewer that may not understand what's being said there. But you make a good point, Richard. You know, a lot's been discussed lately, especially about how network news departments are used to hype their network entertainment programs. This happens mostly, of course, during morning shows like the Today Show and GMA, et cetera. And you also see it, I guess, in news programs like 2020 Dateline and others. Do you think it's good for the network news organizations to be doing this, or does it, you know, I don't know, lend itself to a bit of the blurring of the lines between news and entertainment, Richard?
I can't really, you know, I think when you look at the blurring of the lines between news and entertainment, I think the lines are blurring between content and entertainment in every factor of life. So when you look at reality television and all the different elements that go along with that, in addition to Dennis Miller doing a show on CNBC, you know, the Air America that's just started up, I think that there's so many different elements that combine into this. I think it is... you need to captivate and capture the audience in an incredibly fragmented environment, and entertainment is being entertaining is one way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. The proliferation of reality TV and certainly product placement that's come along with it. I'm curious if you think that that this has contributed in any way to the willingness of network news departments to justify lending themselves to promoting entertainment programs. for a
little bit. I think you bring up an interesting thing about product placement. It is becoming a channel for brands, and I think that whether it's on television or in the movies, I think that there's a lot of research that shows that it can be relevant and meaningful if done really in an accepted manner by the consumer. It's got to fit and make sense. It can't be force fit, or else it can be a negative. So I think that applies to what you just said about news and entertainment. If it doesn't feel right, mm-hmm. it's not going to have the credibility or the resonance that anybody's looking for with the consumer.
You know, I don't know if this is something you're familiar with, but, you know, speaking of big event television, I'm curious how in the world, and I question this every year when I see this, Ray, and we talk about it here on the show, how in the world in 2004 beauty pageants, which have a long history in the U.S., continue to prosper, you know, with the evolution of the female and women and women's rights and all that. Is this ad-driven, do you think? Or
isn't it just reality TV?
Well, that's true.
to the max.
I think it's rags to riches. I think there's a lot of great elements that go along with that.
That's true. That's true, including...
It's good TV.
Including Donald Trump now, since he owns one of those deals.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, I don't remember which one. Wow. Do you, Richard? USA?
Miss USA or Miss Universe, I think.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on new technology, Richard, in particular the use of online content with the web? Are there some opportunities there that you see advertisers embracing today online that they...
Well, I think that there are a couple of interesting things. I think if you look at the latest American Express, Jerry Seinfeld Superman commercial, I think, which is exclusively on the web, I think there's a lot of interesting things that are going on that, you know, companies are looking to. And our lines with Media Edge, Digital Edge, is an incredibly powerful and impactful way. They have some incredible insights as to how to get your message across online and through the digital medium.
So does your company provide those type services yourself?
Through our association with Digital Edge, yeah.
Yeah. And so you will work with, I guess, other entities within the WPP organization to provide your services with others?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm curious with the 360 that so many talk about, and we may have to hold this till the next segment. Many advertising firms offer or suggest that they offer fully 360-degree integrated marketing services, but yet few can really carry it off. And I want to talk to you next segment about how WPP and with your organization, you guys accomplish that.
Good thing. We'll do it on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and our special guest, Richard Yaffe out of Midtown Manhattan, and chairman of the Leverage Group. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Snap, what a happy sound. Snap is the happiest sound I've found. You may clap, rap, clap, clap, but snap makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, Rice Krispies. I say it's crackle, but Krispies.
You're on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and if you're getting a late start today, there's some breakfast commercial for you there. Okay?
True.
Snap, crackle, pop. A very healthy, probably low in carbs, too, no doubt about it. Especially when you put that sugar on. Richard Yaffe is our special guest president and chief executive officer of the Leverage Group, and we've got one final segment here to spend with Richard.
Yeah, Richard, doing some research for the interview today, I read where Media Edge, a unit of WPP, has a stake in your company, and as I recall, it's a three-year acquisition of Leverage Group that began in 2003. How's that going?
Going great. They're an incredibly supportive partner, and we work really well with them. I think we provide additional channels of expertise for the traditional channels of communication.
You know, and I know if it happened, was it early 2003 or when did all that...
It was early 2003.
Yeah, so I guess talks and so forth happened in 2002 for you. Any unforeseen difficulties your company's experienced in the transition?
No, actually, it's been a tremendous match where I really think that they look to us for expertise. If you look at their business and their core business of really looking at the traditional communications platforms, whether it's out of home, print, television, digital, we provide expertise in other channels that their customers and clients are looking for, and vice versa. Our customers and clients are looking for expertise in their channels, and and really their expertise in the channels of media buying and placement.
Well, I was going to say, and for those that may not be familiar, the Media Edge is a media agency, not to be confused with a creative agency, which has separate entities nowadays, and WPP, along with other major holding companies, I guess, have really splintered the effort of advertisers. I'm sorry, have splintered the agency core competencies, if you will. And I guess that's all driven from the potential problems with conflict and so forth. But I'm curious, WPP also owns Mindshare, which is another media agency. Does your organization, the Leverage Group, work closely with them as well, or is because your relationships with Media Edge, do you just stay with them?
No, we work with both. It's actually organized under Group M, and we have a really good relationship and works very well with the people in Group M as well.
Well, and for our audience that may not be familiar, a lot has been talked about the 360-degree communication effort that is now being offered, and I guess with WPP, it'll be different units coming to the table, so to speak, with your area of specialization, and in effect with the effort of three or four organizations, you can offer that 360-degree communication effort. Talk a little bit how you guys might work together with other WPP units to offer a 360-degree communication effort.
Well, whenever you're looking to reach the consumer, there's so many different channels that you can do it through. We have a current initiative for a client. We're working very closely with the public relations arm. We're working very closely with the creative shop, and we're working very closely with Media Edge, and really coordinating all of those endeavors and all of those efforts. We're really creating multiple touch points off of a strategic partnership that we worked with all of the team members to have input and create to get the maximum value out of it. And really, if you have that coordinated effort, then you'll be able to deliver exactly what the client wants and needs, which is an impactful program that has a partnership element at its core.
And sometimes those units or those entities are not necessarily owned by WPP, correct?
At times it's not. No, we work with both WPP entities and others as well.
Yeah. So a client, again, just to give our audience some insight to the big-time Madison Avenue ad agency world, a client may have a creative agency from Omnicom or another major holding company and have other units from WPP and
absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
We're agency neutral as well as pretty much media neutral.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, we've talked about being media neutral here on the show, but since you bring it up, give us a quick definition of media neutral.
The quick definition is that you can be Switzerland for the client, mm-hmm. where you can really analyze and have no other vested interest other than looking at the client's best objectives and interests and try to find the right partner for them.
And I think for a organization to be media neutral, they have to open their head and minds to look beyond just traditional media, don't you think?
Absolutely. Well, climate's demanding it, and people are looking forward to it. So I think that there are a lot of different ways that you can look to accentuate that.
And so often media agencies get hung up on deciding that they have an idea of what medium would be best work for a particular client, and then they try to make that fit into the strategy as opposed to the opposite of that, right?
It's true.
Yeah,
it's true. We're just about out of time here. Believe it or not, the time flies when you have a great guest like Richard Jaffa, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Leverage Group. Richard, thanks for being on the show today. We've had a good time chatting with you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Richard.
The Advertising Show is Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and we come back in just a moment with more, our final segment for this hour.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Hello, amigo. I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way, and when they're flecked with brown and have a golden hue, bananas taste the best and are the best for you. You can put them in a salad.
It's The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and Chiquita Banana tells you how to eat the banana. When to eat the banana,
you put them on a salad.
Yeah.
Look what I got for you.
Oh, look at that. What is that? It's Hawaiian hot sauce.
Picked it up on the trip.
My goodness. Okay.
So we're going to have to test that out after the show today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a cracker?
I'm sure I can find a cracker. Either that or something that would be spongy and would pick up the
taste. Absorb it, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. That's cool. Good talking to Richard Jaffa, Chief Executive Officer, President, and co-founder of the Leverage Group. You can always find out more about Richard, too, and his organization by going to leveragegroup.com,
yeah,
if you'd like to. Mm-hmm. We've got a good guest coming up next week as well, Stephen Brown, author of Free Gift Inside. What's mm-hmm. that all about?
Well, it's a book about promotion and advertising, and a very, very well-written book, I might say. And you know,
come with a free gift inside.
No, it didn't, but that's a great idea.
They should have put something like a little toy like they do with the, you know,
Cracker Jacks.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be funny? That would be a great marketing
thing.
Well,
maybe he did. I need to look at it.
That would be a good idea.
Sometime between now and next week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, Oscar Mayer is coming back with an old jingle. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that the old jingle went away.
I'm a wiener, you're a wiener. No, that's a pepper.
No, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener.
Yeah. I remember that. A little kid sitting on the dock with the fishing pole.
Sure. But they're bringing it back. Kraft Foods division is playing up the famous Oh, I Wish jingle in an umbrella campaign to promote the brand's contemporary lineup of deli meats, bacon, and hot dogs for today's family. So it's coming back to do that.
Well, a lot of advertisers are reaching into the archives and pulling out old campaigns because you know why?
They worked.
We remember those better than we remember any of the late stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, yeah. What can you remember about the new stuff? Because basically it's repurposed music.
Right.
Okay. So
yeah.
That's kind of different.
Yeah.
Hey, let's check in with Andy Borowitz on the Advertising Show.
Hi, this is Andy Borowitz for the Advertising Show. And now, here's this week's feature from the Borowitz Report.
George W. Bush shocked the world this past week by resigning the presidency to concentrate his energies on his fledgling career as a stand-up comedian. After his memorable performance at the Radio and Television Correspondents Association's dinner, Mr. Bush apparently was bitten by the comedy bug and longed to get out on the road and try out some new material, White House spokesman Scott McClellan said this past week. Dick Cheney, who was sworn in as president somewhere in the underground lair he has called home for the last 2.5 years, wished the former president well in his latest endeavor, a 15-city comedy tour of Iraq that will take him from oil-rich Kirkuk to the southern city of Basra. Mr. Bush, who made his debut last night at the newly opened comedy club Tickles of Tikrit, is said to have developed a slapstick-filled comedy routine reminiscent of the veteran comedian Gallagher. In his act, Mr. Bush slashes several large watermelons with a sledgehammer as he searches in vain inside them for weapons of mass destruction. Merv Schein, a manager of comedians who has guided the careers of many successful comics in Las Vegas and Atlantic City, saw Mr. Bush at Tickles and said the audience didn't seem to get him. I thought he was too hip for the room, Mr. Schein said, and it didn't help that there was an explosion outside every few minutes. In a related story, Dr. Condoleezza Rice announced this past week that she would leave her post as the National Security Advisor to pursue a new career as a mime.
This is Andy Borowitz, and this has been a special edition of the Borowitz Report from the Advertising Show. To read more reports or to receive daily email alerts, log on to borowitzreport.com. This is Andy Borowitz saying, keep it fake, baby.
Well, he sure does have his finger on what's going on in Washington,
D.C.,
doesn't
he? He's got the pulse, yeah.
He does, yeah,
you know,
for sure.
I have a friend over in Iraq right now, and he mentioned that he had been to Tickles of Tikrit.
Really?
But he said Bozos of Baghdad's much better.
Is it really?
It's, you can get closer to the
well,
stage.
They have better vodka there, too, probably. they have Bombay.
And yeah, that's funny. Andy's on top of his game.
Yes, he is.
It's good to see that.
So thank you, Andy. And we've got about a minute or so here. What do you got?
Well, real quickly, I'm going to just jump ahead here. Discovery Channel is making gains with the youth market viewership, and thanks to programs like American Chopper and Monster Garage, which is why they've increased their billing $15 million in beer ads, up from, you know what it was last year?
What?
Zero.
Okay, well, that's
from 15 million to zero. Over at their sister network, Travel Channel,
yeah,
Budweiser has already agreed to sponsor the new hit World Poker Tour.
Ah,
it's interesting to see these major advertisers beginning to, you know, look at cable network programs that have been successful and the willingness of them to shift national ad dollars over to away from, I should say, traditional broadcast networks. So it'll, you know, I'm not a big fan of World Poker Tour. It seems like you do flip through those channels, and every once in a while you see Celebrity Poker, World Poker.
There's the Curling Channel.
How exciting is it watching someone play poker or blackjack?
It's not real exciting at all, because you can't tell what their hand is.
Well, sometimes they show that.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, I mean,
that's
still.
Fine. So whatever happened to Anna Nicole? She's still around?
Hey, I was thinking of not only about her the other day, but how about the guy that had the cable program in Indiana?
Yeah, Michael Essany.
Yeah, what happened to him?
I don't know. Maybe he's back in school.
Yeah, he wouldn't be on the advertising show, so that's what happened.
That's exactly right. Oh, well, Michael. Stephen Brown is up next for our next week's show. Hope you can join us. Author of Free Gift Inside, and by next week we'll know whether there is indeed a free gift inside.
True.
Advertising show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Thanks for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you next week at the same time. This is a Big Radio Midgets production.